This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It was extremely scary. Everything happened so fast. They had us in the area where you go in case there's a storm, and we were all there, and then the lights got to flickering, and then all of a sudden we felt a gust that we could feel the wind, and then my ears kind of start popping, you know, as they would as if you're on a plane, and then we did like a little rock, like this way and this way, and then boom, everything came down on us, and all you heard was screams. The factory has a lot of Hispanic people. There's Puerto Rican, Mexican, and Guatemalan, and then there's a lot of African Americans and Caucasian. You know, it's a diverse place, but you can hear people screaming and praying in Spanish and just hollering and, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And I went live. At first I called 911, but then later I went live because I was trying to stay calm and keep everybody else calm and trying to get us as much help as possible. So if I went live, maybe, you know, more people would come to try to help us and get us out of there. But it was absolutely the most terrifying thing I've ever experienced in my life.
And Kiana, when you say
that was one woman describing what happened to her today. I woke up to that thanks to the Today Show for that clip, talking about her experience in the candle factory, talking about what happened in Mayfield and how it was flattened. And it wasn't just in Kentucky, although certainly a horror show there, no doubt about it, where at least 80 people have died. It's still about trying to find survivors, and that's where we're at, people. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hopping on board as we kick off this week on a very somber note. Kentucky communities, 18 different counties really hit by this mass destruction. I mean, you just see people, I think, that are standing there in shock. I mean, you look at the aerial photos and it's nothing. I say this all the time, and I've covered tornadoes before, but I haven't ever seen anything like this. It looks like a giant stepped on one place and then went to another place and then went to another place and just put his foot down. And that was that, especially Mayfield, Kentucky. Boy, the people in Mayfield have really been just devastated. Deadliest ever outbreak of December, the tornadoes tearing through the Midwest and Tennessee Valley on Friday and Saturday, just devastating areas in six states. And the supercell, an hours-long, 250-mile path from eastern Arkansas to western Kentucky. And that's for the people in Kentucky. It really was hard, and they, you know, they got caught in the middle of it. And not just devastating damage, but so much, as I mentioned before, loss of life. This beautiful little city of Mayfield, Kentucky. If you had seen a drone last Wednesday or Thursday over it, you'd say, oh, look, there's like a really cool little main square, and look at the courthouse. You could identify things, and look at the silos. And now so much of that is not standing. So much is overturned, from even the tracks where the railroad cars just toppled over. And of course, the familiar shards of wood and different kinds of cars and SUVs and trucks that are just ripped in half or hanging out of the one lone tree. It's what you would expect when you have these heavy, heavy tornadoes that roar in like a freight train and then roar out and leave just ugliness in its wake. So it's going to be about rebuilding. It's going to be about burying people. The morgue is overwhelmed in that little town, for example. And there are people that feel overwhelmed by what they've seen. And now it is about trying to count how many people have died. And even now that we're heading into the week, it's still about counting bodies and response. I mean, the hardest hit state was Kentucky. So they have to assess exactly the extent of the devastation. How many people are missing? That's also part of it. When you're talking about 200 miles of land, tangles of downed power lines, search and rescue, pretty tough when it's like that. They know that it's probably at least 80, but they have spotty cell service too. So how do you truly know how many people are missing? You don't. You're trying to talk to the people that are there, trying to figure out who has relatives or friends that are missing. So having specific numbers makes it really, really hard, right? I mean, the candle company, wow, just flattened, where people were working and trying to get out candles, so they were working around the clock to try to do that. So the worst case scenario is too many of them were there working. So they have cadaver dogs in towns, and they have to do what they do to make sure they can account for everyone. You have Kevin Kirby is the guy's name. He's the coroner in Warren County in South Central Kentucky. I was listening to an interview that he gave. 12 people died in what would be called his jurisdiction. He says it's the worst disaster he's seen in 35 years on the job. He said it doesn't compare to anything. It starts from one side and goes right through and all the way out the other side. And he said, trying to find people, identify them, that's the problem. And it's hard to locate and identify human remains. So that's why you've got 5 cadaver dogs searching through the debris. Bowling Green, Kentucky, doing that search thing, thinking the number is still going to go up, doing their best to get this process moving all the way through. Because not having the information has got to be equally as painful for too many of these families. Really tough. And then the question becomes, how does this happen in December? And the answer is, it's the weather pattern. And it was just all the right elements for this to happen. And so it did happen. Because it wouldn't have. Normally, you'd say, well, that's not the kind of weather we have. Nah, we don't get that kind of weather. But we do. And when you examine the jet stream and you look at what happened there, then it's obvious, ooh, these are ripe conditions for tornadoes. And in fact, information had been released about that, but to beware, it could be that kind of weekend for a lot of people. And have we seen the last of this, or do more roar in? That's a very, very big question. All right, what's on tap for Chris Wallace? It's new digs, leaving Fox for CNN for a streaming show. He says he's ready for a new adventure. What about the diplomatic boycott of the Olympics? Is that still on? And, oh, yeah, the big O, Omicron. Is it going to be the most dominant variant by next week? Find out more coming up.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender-scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
For What's on Tap. Yeah, and What's on Tap couldn't be more interesting. I'm telling you, some of what I heard over the weekend, besides the sad news of Kentucky, and What's on Tap there, of course, is the cleanup, helping people, figuring out ways to get ahead of things better, faster, that kind of thing. But the National Weather Service is looking into that, and they have looked into it for a long time. And there were actually warning signs that it could happen, but not an exact pinpoint of where it could happen because there was no way to know that. Only you're guessing and you're seeing what it looks like it could be. But it's not 100%. Of course, is anything 100%? All right, What's on Tap is more Sex in the City. It's called Just Like That. And news broke that Sarah Jessica Parker was getting $1 million an episode. Do we care that somebody, we live in a capitalistic society. Why shouldn't somebody in show business make the money they can make if they're making money for the company that is pushing the show that they're on or developing it? Give me a break, right? There was a funny thing that happened. There was a popular character named Mr. Big, and I don't know that anybody could have known this was on Tap, but I will be a spoiler for anybody who may happen to be a fan of Sex and the City, which the last episode was 17 years ago. So he was this guy, handsome, wealthy, accomplished lawyer. And eventually, after lots of back and forth throughout a giant part of that series, finally, he comes clean and says she's always been the one. They get married, go off into the sunset, happy, happy. But now we're talking about 17 years ago. Can you kill off a character? Well, they shot JR. I was a kid when that happened. I remember that. if you remember that series, Dallas. I remember I would beg my mother to watch that, and he got killed. So Mr. Big died. He was not shot. He was riding a Peloton bike in Sex and the City, the reboot, and he fell to the floor in the shower. She was out, came home. It was too late. He was dying in her arms, and that was that. But Peloton was not happy because it looked like, well, wait, he's going on his 1,000th ride and killing himself to do that. And then he does, in fact, have a heart attack. So quickly what was on tap for them is they enlisted another actor, Ryan Reynolds, to do the voice. And they have an ad with Chris Noth, who plays that Mr. Big character, who was married to Sarah Jessica Parker's character. And he's sitting by a fire with Jess King, a real-life Peloton instructor, who also played one in the reboot. And he said, should we take another ride? Life's too short not to. The camera pans out, and there's two Peloton bikes. And then there's a voiceover by Ryan Reynolds. He says the benefits of cycling, improving heart, lungs, and circulation. And then he says, oh, yeah, he's alive. So there you go. Peloton, which... during the pandemic, you know, after a boom for Peloton during the pandemic, sales fell because people started to, you and I, started to return to normal life. And we weren't riding our Peloton in the living room anymore. So the company has said that sales of Peloton stationary bikes and treadmills dropped 17% in their most recent quarter. So they don't want to look like they are killing people who are kind of out of shape or smoking cigars or doing whatever they're doing, which would be Mr. Big. And I thought that was quite clever to head that off. And some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Let's just say Peloton looked bad in a series where a guy dies after riding a Peloton. So they're not happy. So they take action and they make a sarcastic, funny spot to combat seeing someone die on after getting off of Peloton. You don't care. All right, so we move on to something else. As I said, when we look at what's on tap, there are a lot of things that are coming up this week for sure. But one of the things that's coming up down the road is what's going to happen in 2024, the presidential bid. Who's going to get that, right? And Donald Trump has kind of been teeing that up, and a lot of people are teeing it up for him, too. But I was kind of surprised by this. The former Vice President Mike Pence visited New Hampshire last week, and he's looking at other primary states. There is speculation about a potential 2024 presidential run and questions about whether he can win over the Republican voters he angered on January 6th. But he made a bunch of campaign sort of stops and went to a fundraiser for a Republican state Senate candidate. So maybe that is the plan for him anyway, is that, okay, I'm going to try to run. A Harvard-Harris poll survey that came out early last week showed that Donald Trump led the field of potential 2024 Republican primary contender, 67% support. Pence trailed at 9%. But if Trump wasn't in the field, Pence got 25%. But guess who he trailed? Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who really wants it. He wants to be president. But that's still a far way off. But it's what's on tap because there's a lot of maneuvering to try to figure out if it's worth the run, making the run that entire thing. Chris Wallace, what's on tap for him is CNN. It almost sounds funny to say that, Chris Wallace and CNN. He's going to do a streaming service that they have. So 18 years with Fox News Sunday. And he said at the end of it, is the last time, and I say it with real sadness, that we'll meet like this at the end of the program. Mm. Think of in television news, that's like 36 years that he was in that position. So Fox News, they were classy. They released a statement. They were classy to do that, right? Sometimes these networks don't say anything. But they said in a statement that they're extremely proud of their journalism and the stellar team that Chris Wallace was part of for 18 years, and that the legacy of Fox News Sunday will continue with their star journalists, and many of whom will rotate in the position until a permanent host is found. Oh, it's kind of like a Jeopardy thing. But I bet you it won't be quite like Jeopardy. I'm just saying. I'm just thinking. Probably not. All right, it is almost comical because there is a comet that is at the center of a movie called Don't Look Up, Adam McKay's movie that is in theaters. It just opened this past weekend. I was reading a story about NASA saying a huge, potentially hazardous asteroid will break into Earth's orbit next week. Oh, yikes. NASA expects the asteroid to be at its closest point to Earth over a 20-year period. A 20-year period. So it's expected to come within 2.5 million miles of Earth as far as the cosmic standards are concerned, right? Wow. Are you concerned? Boy, shouldn't be. I am no astronomer, but I'm going to go with some of what I've been told by people, and I'm going to say we're all going to be okay. Don't worry about that. Mm, definitely not. There's an airport that's going to be renamed for Harry Reid. Remember him? He was sort of like the bookend to Nancy Pelosi. But commissioners have, in Clark County, Nevada, have unanimously approved a resolution requesting the name of the airport be changed to Harry Reid International Airport. How about that? If it's approved, private money would cover the costs associated with the name change if the FAA approves it. Well, you know, he, think about when he left, he was in the Senate for decades, and he was a majority leader during the Obama administration from 2007 until 2015. So the airport, formerly known as McCarran International Airport, is set to become the Harry Reid International Airport. The FAA code, LAS, will stay the same. Stay with us. Going to introduce you to an interesting lady who has a great story to tell that'll make you feel good. Patty Harder's next.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After six southern states were struck by powerful tornadoes, President Biden is making plans to visit some of those states in the next few days. Speaking in Delaware, Biden pledged full federal help, saying, "We're going to get through this together." The FEMA chief said on Sunday morning,
What we are hearing is we are still in the life-saving and life-sustaining mode, right? We're still in search and rescue, and we're sending additional resources in to help locate anybody who still may be trapped.
That's FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell speaking on ABC's This Week. Six states impacted included Kentucky, Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Vampire novelist Anne Rice has died at age 80. Rice's book selling more than 150 million copies after her first gothic fiction novel, Interview with the Vampire, was published in 1976. And this is USA Radio News. United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken backing up President Biden's claims that he was very tough with Russian President Vladimir Putin on a recent video call in which Biden says he stressed that the U.S. is ready to respond with economic consequences and even NATO and military consequences should there be a military escalation between Russia and Ukraine. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday, Blinken said,
"We are looking at and we are prepared to take the kinds of steps we've refrained from taking in the past that would have massive consequences for Russia."
Journalist Chris Wallace is joining a rival news network from where he's been for years. The longtime host of Fox News Sunday is now going to be part of the new CNN Plus streaming service. He'll host a weekday show, but more information is going to be released at a later date, they say. The announcement coming not long after Wallace hosted his final edition of Fox News Sunday. And this is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Joins us. Her book is called A Sacred Fulfillment on Christmas Eve. Patty, thanks for coming on. Tell us about this story.
Well, for one thing, it's a true story about a real Christmas miracle. And it took place in Seattle, Washington on Christmas Eve in 1995. And it's actually court documented. Okay?
Ooh.
And it's about a mother's love transcending the boundaries of death. There's no other way to perceive this. And at the time this event took place, I was attending a church, a New Age church in Seattle that I really enjoyed. In fact, it was where Kurt Cobain had his memorial service when he passed away. And I was retired at the time, but, I'm now retired, I should say, but at that time I was working as an independent insurance agent, and I specialized in long-term care insurance and had a big account with SPIA, which is a white-collar Boeing union. And I always worked alongside geriatric care managers. So when the minister at the church put out a call to help a senior citizen find new housing, I was, very happy to volunteer. But it turned out to be a much more complicated situation than I expected. And Marion Hume was the name of the person who was looking for new housing. She was 77 years old, and she had been evicted from a HUD apartment in Ballard, Washington, and forced to live in a very unfamiliar neighborhood on the other side of town. When I met with her, she kept insisting she hadn't done the things she had been accused of that led to her eviction, and she just wanted to go home. She kept saying, I want to go back home. So I had been informed prior to our meeting that she was developmentally disabled, and I observed that she was very distressed to be away from her familiar surroundings, and she was having a very difficult time adapting to her new location. And she was just like a lost child. And although I did make some attempts to find housing in her area, there was very little that was available, with long waiting lists, and especially for someone like her who was low income and currently on Medicaid. So that was kind of the situation.
Just a minute. So let me stop you. What happened? Don't keep us in suspense. We'll read a lot of the details, but what happened?
So basically what happened is, rather than ignore her proclamations that she was innocent, I decided to contact HUD. And this is kind of another just amazing situation. So it took a while to get past the receptionist on the phone. She thought she was a guilty party, but I was told someone would get back to me. And then a short time later, I get a return phone call from this investigator who said he was on a temporary assignment with HUD, and his name, of all things, was Mr. Ballard. That's the name of the neighborhood that Mary used to live
wow.
in, okay? So talk about coincidence. So in any event, he said he wanted to come see her right away and check her out. Beautiful man, an absolute angel from heaven. And he said after visiting with her, he didn't believe she was the helter-skelter resident that was described by the manager. So he decided he was going to start a HUD investigation. However, before I could even get that started, I had to get her guardianship agency agree to, you know, sign the paperwork for that. And they wouldn't return my call, so I finally got the papers, went and knocked on their door and got them to sign them. So that sort of began the investigation into, you know, what was going on with her. And the other thing that happened is I also went to the apartment to sort of talk to the residents there. And there was one woman in particular who had accused Marion of knocking on her door very late at night. And my instinct just said, go see her. So I went to see her, and I knocked on her door, you know, just saying I was trying to find a resident in the building. And when I got to her door, I noticed that the bell had been disconnected. So I asked, I said, why did you do that? And she said, oh, there's this guy down the hall from me who always comes home inebriated in the middle of the night and wakes me up. So as soon as I heard that, I knew that Marion wasn't the culprit. So basically, I got in touch with HUD right away. They were very, very cooperative, really nice people to work with. And so they said, that's it. We're going to do an investigation on this to see what happened. And they overturned the eviction. So at that point, Marion, when I say she was able to get back home, it still took a long while. The problem with her disability is that anytime she was in a strange place, especially like herself, you have to realize she was just like a child. She had a 60 IQ, and she had actually been told to leave school when she was 8 years old, which devastated her mother. Her mother's name was Mary. And she gave birth to her when she was about 37 years old, and her dad was about 50. And she was her only child. And this woman absolutely doted and loved her daughter. I mean, she took tremendous care of her. And the biggest problem that came up, believe it or not, she prepared her so well for living on her own once her mother passed away that very few people believe she was developmentally disabled. It actually caused a problem for her. And I think that was part of the reason she had been evicted, because they thought she was faking her mental retardation. One of the issues that she had, and that in those days they called it retardation, nowadays it's developmentally disabled. But in any event, she performed so well that even the court at that time, the social workers and everyone insisted that she was fine, that she wasn't developmentally disabled. It was crazy. Nobody ever actually had her sent to a psychologist to have her assessed.
Wow.
So I did those things, and I took over the guardianship and found out, indeed, she had a 60 IQ. She also got into a lot of trouble because of lack of supervision, because she had terrible dexterity, and she had a hard time just letting people in through the door at the apartment where she lived. And she'd hold on to the buzzers and, you know, half the neighborhood would walk through the door. Things like that. And so those caused complaints, but people were not sympathetic, whether they thought she was faking her mental retardation. And that had to do with her mother being taking such beautiful care of this child. But in any event, to go on to the very end, I'm not sure how much time we have left here.
Sure.
What happened is that in the process, you know, I finally got her back to her old apartment, but it took 3 months. And she went through all kinds of things like night terrors and you name it, at the few places where I found she could live close to the place where she'd been evicted. It didn't help. She had to be back in that same place where she was familiar with everything. And everything went very well. She was very happy when she got back. She loved doing coffee clutches with all her friends and having parties and things. And then everything got kind of quiet as Christmas came around. Most of her friends left the building and, you know, went to stay with their family. So I just called her up and I said, hey, I'm going to come over and get you. My daughter, Wendy, wanted to, you know, bring her home with us as well. We were going to celebrate, and she was baking cookies and decorating the house and this and that. So we were preparing for her to come over. But just before I was leaving to pick her up, I get a call from one of her caregivers saying that she had, you know, was acting a little strange and she was stumbling a little bit. She thought there might be a problem. So, you know, when I went to get her, you know, I got picked up her pajamas and stuff like that. And I thought part of it might be at this time of year she really missed her mom. So I thought, well, I'll take her to the church because they were having a candlelight service. And I figured that would really, you know, cheer her up. So I went ahead and I took her to the church, and she kind of, you know, when I got there, she raced out of the car and went and sat inside and was sitting down. And then I came inside and sat down with her, and we sang the first hymn of the evening together, and this was on Christmas Eve, 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And then a short time when we sat down, she started just, she's very restless, and I noticed she was sweating, and she pulls off her sweater, and she looked at me, and she just said, I got to get to the bathroom, you know. So I knew something was going on. I didn't know why, but I just sensed something serious was happening. So I grabbed her and I took her, and on the way out, I told the usher, I said, call an ambulance. You know, there's something happening here. We need an ambulance. And then I took her to the restroom, and where she had a very difficult time. She was kind of falling over. So on the way out, what I did is I took her to the church library, which was right behind the sanctuary. And I knew they had a couch in there. So I laid her on the couch, and then it just came over me, and something just took over. It was no longer just me by myself anymore. I knew her mother was there.
Wow.
And she looked at me, and she said, I'm afraid. And I just looked at her, and I said, Marion, your mommy's here. Go home with your mom.
Aww.
And at that point, she left. There was no fear. There was no pain. She died with a smile on her face from one ear to the other. That's how she passed away.
Wow, what a story. This
is a true story.
Yeah,
I wish I was making it up. I'm not making
it
up.
It's a true story. We're out of time, but you told it beautifully, actually, and the ending. Wow, good for you.
Let me give a quick ending here, because this is a really important part. It's a very
last word. You got 25 seconds. Go for it.
I'll do it. Okay. Her mother left a last will and testament that I never knew about. And in that, she had only two requests. One was to have her funeral at the church. The second was not to be cremated, to be buried. That neither of those things would have happened had I not become Marion's guardian.
Wow.
This was, you know, I feel that I was blessed to have been a part of what I call a sacred fulfillment.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and there you go. That's the name of the book, as Patty just said, and that's where you can find that book under that name, A Sacred Fulfillment on Christmas Eve on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Patty, what a good soul you are, and what a good story. Thank you for telling us that, and thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, well, thank you for having me.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And as we make the final turn for this show anyway, wow, so sad what has happened in Kentucky and in that swath of states, other areas that were hit by these wild tornadoes. I mean, look, over 100 people are feared dead. There's not an exact total at this point after those tornadoes ripped through a couple of states. We talked about this on the air, and I was scared to death looking at the weather system, saying that I had talked to two different friends of mine who are weather people, and they hadn't seen anything really quite like this, what was expected. And it hit. So in Kentucky, the death toll is at least 80, and it's going to probably exceed 100. The governor, Andrew Beshear, who you heard at the top of this, said it's the deadliest tornado event in Kentucky's history. And 18 counties have had problems, damage, etc. You know, you've got close to 50,000 people who are without power. And it just shows you how deadly these tornadoes are. Not that we didn't know. We've talked about tornadoes. I've talked about my experiences covering tornadoes when I had no real knowledge of what the damage was like. And when I saw it firsthand, it still is nothing like this. I mean, nothing. So you had central and southern parts of the U.S. that were really, really just devastated by what's happened, you know, across the Midwest and the South. Really, you look at Tennessee, they've confirmed at least 4 dead, Illinois 6, Missouri 2, all weather related, right? destroyed buildings, downed power lines, wrecked cars and SUVs and trucks and whatever else, streets that are just ripped to shreds, communities that are trying to piece it all back together. And as of Sunday, five EF3 tornadoes were identified in a couple places, Defiance, Missouri, Edwardsville, Illinois, Bowling Green, Kentucky. Boy, I feel y'all. I've spent some time there. And in a couple of other counties in Kentucky as well. So this severe storm was what happened. The Kendall factory collapsing in Kentucky, the rescues in Mayfield, a city of about 10,000 people, a massive pile of debris. Rescuers desperate to find people using their hands and machines digging through the destruction, you know, 15 feet of metal with cars on top of it. So that's the downtown that was described to me. And, you know, the factory was built because it's a manufacturing facility. It had concrete walls and a steel frame in the structure. So you would think it would be safe, but it wasn't safe at all. Right. And you've got family members who are still searching for relatives, praying that somehow they got to safety. They couldn't find them, you know, days later. But you've got debris blocking roads. It's a nightmare. And of course, the National Guard has been deployed all over the place, depending on the state and certainly in Kentucky. And they're telling people, don't go to see it because we need to make sure we can do the work as fast as we can to make sure that we can get it. What if there is somebody? What if there's somebody trapped that they could possibly help? I mean, it's just shocking and just devastating to people who lost people, obviously. And we're starting to hear some of those stories. Like there was a district judge, Brian Crick, who was one of the victims of this and was supposedly a well-liked guy where he was in Kentucky. Just terrible. Mayfield. You know, Mayfield. It keeps coming back to that. How about Amazon, the warehouse and nursing home collapsing, too? That was terrible in Edwardsville, Illinois. And, you know, the six people who died were 26 to 62 years old. One of them, a 29-year-old U.S. Navy veteran, and he had worked there for about a year as a maintenance mechanic, right? And I guess his father also worked at the same plant. And Amazon has said that there was a tornado siren that sounded 11 minutes before it got there. They got on the loudspeaker. They tried to help people. But, you know, not everybody could be helped, obviously. And there are more and more stories like that. So we send out our prayers for all these people and anything you can do to help the people in any of those states, in any of those places that were hurt, please do so. And we'll be announcing things, of course. You know, we need blood donations because of COVID now. They've been asking for blood. The American Red Cross has been asking for blood donations, and I think that's being asked in some of these parts. And just maybe there's people that can help clear some of the debris when asked. If you have that kind of machinery in those places, you just never know until you reach out. But what a terrible, terrible thing. And that really is what's on everybody's mind, right? There are other events that took place in the last couple of days since we last talked, but this is it. A church being totally destroyed, the Amazon warehouse, the workers trapped, the candle factory, the people in their homes, and six states are really, you know, grappling with it. That's what the facts are, definitely. All right, a couple of other things, because it wouldn't be this show if we weren't talking about a few of the tidbits around the country. And certainly on the lighter side, I think sports lifts people up. Some people might disagree, I don't know, looking at favorite teams or just how some of their teams did or if they had fantasy teams. There was a wild week in the NFL. I'm just going to, we'll of course do a full recap. We have Nail the Score coming up in the Man Cave later during the week, but a couple of wild overtime finishes late in the day on Sunday. The 49ers beat the Bengals 26-23 in overtime. Congratulations to the 49ers. That was a very big win. And the Bengals put up a big fight because they were losing in this game. At half time, they were down, and they came back into it. And then they made it to push the overtime, tying it at 20. But the 49ers prevailed. And how about the Buccaneers? The Buccaneers were blowing out the Bills, and then the Bills roared back. But in overtime, Tom Brady with a wild 58-yard touchdown pass and to seal the deal as they were trying to march upfield in OT. And they won. So 33-27, and the Buccaneers, again, pick up yet another victory. And it was a nail-biter at the end of the game. Another one that was so close at the end of the game, not in the beginning. The Browns win, a big win for them. They're 7-6, right? They beat the Ravens 24-22. How about that? Then some of the other games, Titans blank the Jags. Boy, I just can't find anything. Nothing's going on for Jacksonville. But the Tennessee, different story. 20-0. Poor Trevor Lawrence. I love watching this kid at Clemson in college. He'll get the rhythm. I really believe it. But four interceptions for him in that Jacksonville loss. The Chiefs nailed the Raiders 48-9. How about the Saints? Who dat? Where are my who dat fans? The Saints beating the Jets 30-9, the final score. The Cowboys pick up a huge win, but they made it interesting. It was a blowout. Look, they scored 18 points in the first quarter, but then Washington came back and made it interesting where they almost could have won the game, but almost doesn't count. The Cowboys picked it up. The Dallas defense was amazing. They forced four turnovers. They were huge, huge, huge in that win, 27-20. The Falcons hang on for the win over the Panthers, 29-21. The Seahawks handed it to the Texans, 33-13. The Broncos had no trouble with the Lions. The Lions, who are 1-11-1, 38-10, the final score there. The Chargers all over the Giants, 37-31. And like I said, we'll go more into that as we get into the man cave later in the week. But I thought I would lighten the mood a little bit at the tail end of this. And I know, like I said, sports certainly can be a uniter. There's no question about that. I think throughout the week, there's going to be more conversation about these 227 miles of destruction and the search for life and what happened of those that survived and just that night of storms and how rare it is and how sad, very, very, very sad that was. And we are a weary nation already, right? For all of our friends listening in other places, I think that exhaustion label can be placed on anybody at any point in the world, the way the world is now. But I just looked at this new study that 3 in 5 Americans feel more tired now than they've ever been in their lives. The study says 59% say that spending so much time at home since 2020 has permanently zapped them of energy. The survey, by the way, because we're giving you the facts, was done by One Poll, and it was done on behalf of Monster Energy. And they found the most common energy-depleting activity to be poor sleep scheduling. So, yeah, and long hours, working long hours, being inside too much during the lockdown, perpetual exhaustion. You know, isn't it funny because people would complain about not having enough time at home, and now people are just weary. And I think people that are working from home are working more. So don't work so much. Take your breaks. Transition. Get outside. Breathe it in. Breathe in the air, people. All right, again, sending up prayers for all those people in the states that we mentioned that have been devastated by the tornadoes and this great, great loss. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.